This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Andy Staples covers college football for The Athletic. He's the host of the Andy Staples Show. He joins us on the program. Andy, thanks for joining us. Assess the current rankings, and could any... do you expect anything to happen this weekend that could change the top four?
Potential shenanigans this weekend, because USC-UCLA feels like a very close game. Vegas thinks it's going to be a close game. I think USC is a 1.5-point favorite. Neither defense looks capable of stopping either offense. So I think it's going to be fun. And then TCU playing Baylor and Waco. Baylor, very up and down over the last few weeks. Like, if you get good Baylor and good Blake Shapen, their quarterback, this is going to be a really tight game. If you get the Baylor team that played K-State last week, TCU is going to roll. And so that's an interesting one because, you know, we could see those two teams be in a very different place next week, because USC, obviously, if they lose, they would be out of playoff contention. I'm still not convinced TCU would be out. I think a 12-1 Big 12 champ TCU, given how deep the Big 12 was and how there's really no weeks off in that league, I think they have to get some consideration. Now, if they're 13-0, they're in. And this is one of their toughest challenges left, so we'll see what happens.
No, but if I said Tennessee has one loss to end the regular season and TCU's undefeated.
TCU's in.
No, okay.
If it's a choice. But it wouldn't be a choice between those two, I don't think. I think then you're talking about Tennessee versus maybe a 12-1 USC Pac-12 champ, or the loser of the Ohio State-Michigan game. And I think that then it's a little bit different. But I think...
well, let's look at those scenarios. If I said I got a one-loss USC team and a one-loss Tennessee team, who do you think the playoff committee would take?
They're going to take Tennessee. And everybody's going to tell you they're going to take USC. I'm telling you right now they would take Tennessee in that situation, because they always have taken that particular type of team in that situation. Because at the way they boil it down at the end, they like good wins. And Tennessee would have a couple of great wins. They'd have the LSU win in Baton Rouge where they won 40-13. They had the win against Alabama. USC would have the wins that they would be getting over the next 3 weeks. UCLA, Notre Dame, and then probably Oregon or Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. And those, you know, those are good sets of good wins in both cases. But then when they get to that point, they say they're supposed to break the tie with conference champion or not. Mm-hmm. They never do that. They've never done that in the past. When they do it for the first time, it will be the first time. What they do is they decide who the better team, who they think would win if they played. And like, if you ask a guy in Vegas right now, if you said what is the line on a neutral site Tennessee USC game, it's Tennessee by 7.5 or 8. So they'll pick Tennessee. I've had this idea over the past few years. Like, if you have to decide between 4 and 5, I think the committee should be allowed to kidnap the head coach of the number one team. Like, roll up in a windowless van, grab Kirby Smart in Athens, put a bag over his head, bring him to an undisclosed location. You shoot him up with truth serum. And in this case, you go, Kirby, who do you want, Tennessee or USC? Who would you rather play? And he'll go, give me the Trojans. And you go, okay, you get the Vols.
That would be good TV, Andy, by the way.
Tremendous. Burt Magnus, get on this.
Yes. Okay, if I said a one-loss Tennessee team against a one-loss either Ohio State or Michigan team.
Aha. Now, if you have my Kirby Smart kidnap scenario, and Ohio State is the team that has narrowly lost the Michigan-Ohio State game.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby might say, give me the Vols.
Wow.
So that's the interesting. I think Ohio State has a better chance of getting in if they lose that game than Michigan does if they lose that game. Because Ohio State has that Notre Dame win. They are viewed as probably the more complete team that, you know, they could throw, they could run, unless they're playing Northwestern and they can't seem to do either. But they're much better defensively. What's weird about this is if I had to pick that game today, and obviously we'll all be picking it next week, I'd pick Michigan to win that game. I just feel like Michigan's been more consistent. I feel like the way Michigan plays is not a great matchup for Ohio State, but it would be a terrible matchup for Michigan against a Georgia, for example. I think Ohio State's probably a better matchup against a Georgia just because they can do some different things. But you know, that's just going to have to shake out. I do think if Michigan wins that game, that's the better chance for the Big Ten to get 2 in.
If I said, if we're going with who would be favored by Vegas, if I said Tennessee was going to play TCU neutral site right now, Tennessee's going to be favored.
Tennessee is going to be favored, but I don't know by how much, because, you know, we've seen Tennessee against Georgia where when that offense doesn't work, What do you got? And we've seen TCU play some. What TCU does that's different from, say, USC? Like, USC wins one way. They score a bunch of points. Their defense occasionally gives up a bunch of points, but they score a bunch of points and they win. North Carolina is the same thing. Michigan kind of wins the same way every time. TCU has been capable of winning different ways. They can win in a shootout and they can win in a rock fight. And Georgia's really the only other team we're talking about in here that's proven they can do that. Like, Tennessee hasn't proven they can win in a different way. So that's where I like TCU, and I also like the fact that TCU has really, in conference play, had no weeks off. They are playing a decent to good team every single time. And other leagues have kind of chum at the bottom where you have a week that you can sleepwalk through and still win. TCU's had to be on edge every single week. Now, if they lose to Baylor and the committee drops them below Tennessee, and they're probably never coming back. But I still think they should get consideration for that because the Big 12 has been so deep this year.
How up for grabs is the Heisman?
Very, very. I did a blind resume thing last week with the quarterbacks and the running backs, and I threw Jalen Carter in there from Georgia, the defensive tackle, because I think there's a real good chance he's actually the best player in the country. But if you look at the quarterbacks, and I think this will be a quarterback year unless Blake Corum just blows up against Ohio State, They're producing at really similar rates. I mean, it depends on what stat you like the most. Are you a yards per attempt person? Are you a touchdowns produced person? But, you know, it's C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, Drake May from North Carolina, Bo Nix from Oregon, Caleb Williams from USC, Max Duggan from TCU, Hendon Hooker from Tennessee. They're all in that mix, and it's a matter of who can separate. Hendon Hooker's not going to get another chance where everybody's watching unless they're losing to Vandy or South Carolina, which they don't want to be in that situation. So I think he's sort of in the clubhouse. He signed his scorecard. He's just waiting for everybody else to show up. Caleb Williams from USC, I think, has the best chance to really shine over a several-week period because they're playing – like everyone's going to be watching them against UCLA. If they win that game, everyone's watching them against Notre Dame. And then obviously C.J. Stroud and Blake Corum, when they play, the nation's eyes will be on that game. And if one of them just has a legendary game – real good chance they win.
Yeah, I've been saying Caleb Williams is the dark horse, and keep an eye on him because he has three games that will be standalone games. The UCLA is big game. Notre Dame is always big. And then the Pac-12. I mean, USC is not helped out by Oregon and UCLA losing this past weekend. But as far as playing against marquee teams, standalone games, he's got three chances where, you know, C.J. Stroud has got the Michigan game.
Correct. And maybe the Big Ten championship, but that's probably going to be against a very overmatched West team. So, yeah, and Drake May, I'm telling you guys, watch Drake May. He's got more touchdown passes than C.J. Stroud. He leads North Carolina in rushing. He may really be the best player in the country. And the thing about Drake May and Caleb Williams, I think they're in very similar situations. Their defenses have been not good this season. I'm probably just bad. Bad's probably the right word. They've been under so much pressure to score every time they get the ball, and they've generally done that. And I think that's pretty amazing. So do yourself a favor. Watch a little Drake May. I'm telling the audience, but Black Friday, North Carolina, NC State, they'll be kind of standalone. Give yourself a chance to watch him play. He's fun.
As I told this audience a couple of weeks ago, that there's going to be teams that will tank for a quarterback in 2024, and it's Drake May, and this was according
to Caleb.
Or
Caleb Williams.
Well, from the scout that is a great resource to me, NFL scout, he said Drake May is the quarterback. Yeah. And he said that teams will tank for Drake May in 2024.
I mean, I might tank for Drake May right now. Like, he came on our show last week, and this is a man who oozes confidence. You know that this guy is in charge. And it's interesting, he was committed to Alabama first. He's the brother of Luke May, who played basketball at North Carolina and was a big star there on the basketball court. And he needed Sam Howell to show that you could be successful at quarterback in North Carolina to decide, okay, I'll do this instead of Alabama because I really want to go to North Carolina. And, I mean, they're potentially going to be a 12-1 ACC champ if they can beat Clemson, and that is – not something I would have predicted at the beginning of the year.
Andy, always great to talk to you. Thanks for giving us all that information.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Steve Palazzolo, he is one of our favorites. You can see him. He's the co-host of Pro Football Focus, NFL podcast, senior analyst. And you can see more of him and follow him, PFF.com, the PFF app. Steve, thanks for joining us. Why is scoring down in the NFL?
Yeah, Dan, I think there's a bunch of reasons. You know, there's not always one, but I think first off, defenses are playing a little bit softer. You know, they're kind of sitting back trying to get rid of those explosive plays. I think we've seen some of the more dependable quarterbacks just, you know, hit a wall in their career, whether it's Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson. And then you have offensive lines. There's a few teams that have just hit a ridiculous run of injuries. So the Rams offensive line is the worst we've ever seen under Sean McVay, and Matthew Stafford in turn has not been able to do anything. So I think it's this combination of defenses playing a little bit softer, teams that have run into just ridiculous injury issues, and some of the older quarterbacks maybe just not being as dependable as they've been in the past.
Why are rushing numbers up?
I think there's some of the same reasons. You know, again, I think defenses are inviting the run a little bit more. And then offenses are using the quarterbacks, right? If you're just looking at rushing numbers, the quarterbacks are involved in that. So you see like what the Bears have done with Justin Fields over the last couple of weeks in the designed running game. And then as a scrambler, Josh Allen with the Bills, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And of course, Lamar, I mean, he somewhat started this a couple of years ago. And then you even see a team like the Giants and Daniel Jones. They've been one of the most efficient offenses in part because if you don't respect Daniel Jones as a runner, he'll pick up 10 to 15 yards and move the chain. So I think that's a big part of it is teams are starting to win the numbers game up front by letting their quarterbacks be a part of the run game.
I said this a few years ago on the show that eventually somebody was going to go counterattack and you were going to run the football because defenses, it felt like you were looking for faster guys, quicker guys. You had more cover guys. You had more edge rushers. And then you were going to have a team that was just basically going to say, you know, we're going to have brute force here and we're going to try to dominate you. We saw this with the Philadelphia Eagles and Washington Commanders. Now all of a sudden everybody goes, well, the Eagles are susceptible to the run. Now they got the Colts coming up and they got the Titans. They got the Packers. They're not going to be able to stop them. What do you make of football going maybe a little more old school in having this power game running attack?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I don't think it's a strategy that teams should chase in the offseason. I don't think your offseason goal should be like, hey, let's not have a great quarterback. We're just going to run the ball. I think you always have to chase the passing game, so to speak. But it's one of those things. If Daniel Jones is my quarterback, I'm probably not going to drop back 50 times and just let him go. So the Giants have to adjust to what they have. The Commanders game was perfect. I mean, that is like a coach's dream, not only because they ran the ball, but they got like 4 yards every time, three yards here, 4 yards there. They're in third and short the entire time. And then they just kept converting, and it kept the Eagles off the field. The execution of it was perfect, but it's a really difficult thing to chase every single week. You know, the Bucs like to run the ball too, but they're in second and long all the time. So then Brady ends up throwing the ball like crazy. So it's one of those things where like the strategy of it and then the execution of it is different. But again, if you don't have a great quarterback, you do have to get creative and maybe lean on the run game just a little bit more.
How sustainable is what Justin Fields is doing?
Oh, I think him as a runner is absolutely sustainable, because again, when you're running, you know, a run concept up front, it's all about numbers game. And once the quarterback is a runner, and you're winning, right? So when you put eight in the box, the quarterback essentially negates the eighth person in the box. And now I think we get to see Fields develop more as a passer. He's still not there yet, but it gives him time to develop as a passer because he's such a dynamic runner.
Yeah, I just wonder about that sometimes you'll fall in love with what people expect you to do. You know, Brett Favre loved to take chances. You know, Mahomes' degree of difficulty. You know, sometimes you get caught up in there. Yeah, this is what people expect out of me. Josh Allen sometimes gets into this. And I wonder if Justin Fields goes, this is what I'm known for. If I only rush for 62 yards, people are going to go, what's wrong with you?
It's a good point. And, you know, it's on the Bears coaching staff to say, look, Justin, this is going to open things up. I think one of the things that's made Lamar Jackson so successful, Lamar is still not the most accurate quarterback in the NFL, but he completes a high percentage of passes because of his run threat. Because of his run threat, defenses are going to, you know, account for the run, and the play action game is that much more effective for a team like the Ravens. There's just more open throws. Fields, like Cole Kmet, the tight end for the Bears, is all of a sudden this monster threat. He's just running wide open through the secondary because of all the misdirection in the play action. So Fields needs to embrace that his run threat is going to also open up the pass game, create some easier throws.
I know that you guys grade every team and you look at every play. Let's look at the Packers here. What did you see that they did against the Cowboys that could be sustainable for the second half of the season?
It's tough to say that Christian Watson scoring three touchdowns is sustainable, but you can at least see the explosive plays that the Packers have. I mean, their offense this year has been really hit or miss. They would have games where they would just stretch teams horizontally, try to create yards after the catch, and take these low percentage shots down the field. But Watson, the second round rookie, showed his speed. And when you put him inside in the slot, it actually alters defenses. You can't leave him one-on-one now because you know he's got 4-3 speed that Aaron Rodgers is going to find. So I think there is an explosive passing attack in there. The Packers are still morphed into a run-first team these last few weeks because of the inconsistency of their receivers. And that has set up these big plays in the pass game. So I think there's an element of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are a good starting point. Aaron Rodgers now can actually create big plays because of Christian Watson and the big play ability, the speed that he brings to the table. I don't think it's going to be as difficult for this Packers offense just moving the chains because of the speed element of Watson.
Steve Palazzolo on joining us now, senior analyst, co-host of Pro Football Focus, the NFL podcast. You know, sometimes we look at a quarterback and he's successful because of his wide receivers. Sometimes we look at wide receivers and say they're successful because they're quarterback. How would you assess Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins?
Yeah, it's always fun to try to separate those two things. I mean, obviously, Tua is playing much better this year. It's not as simple as here's this guy who played at X level and then you add Tyreek Hill and he's at Y, right? It's not necessarily that simple, but you see what the Dolphins are doing. Open throws all over the place. The speed is so evident with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, their running backs. But Tua is executing it. What he's doing right now, though, is also cutting back on the boneheaded plays. If you go back through his tape the last couple of years, there's all these random throws to safeties and just bad plays late in the game. Didn't always come back to bite, but he's eliminated those in recent weeks. So I think on one hand, you have to credit the Dolphins for putting all those weapons around him, but Tua is executing. He's getting the ball into their hands. He's been accurate, and he hasn't made those boneheaded decisions, and he's always been great at not taking negative plays, not taking those sacks, even behind a rough offensive line. So I think all those things are adding up to Tua playing at really a high level this year.
Who's the best wide receiver in the NFL, grade-wise?
I'm not sure who we have the highest graded at the moment, but I would always take Tyreek Hill. I mean, our grades are really good at capturing production. I don't think our grades can even capture what Tyreek Hill does for an offense. I know that the Chiefs kind of took a step back with him last year, but man, the need to account for Tyreek Hill, the fear that he instills, just if you have to leave him one-on-one, and the fact that you could put Tyreek Hill in the slot and give him 150 catches, you could put him outside and have him average 20 yards per reception. You can actually let him do whatever you want, depending on what the offense calls for. So I would take Tyreek Hill over anybody in the NFL.
Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson.
Jefferson's up there, obviously. I mean, the clutch plays and everything, but Tyreek Hill is an offense changer. The Dolphins go from one of the worst offenses to one of the best. Tua gets some of that credit, but Tyreek Hill is absolutely the X factor.
Okay, who else would factor in there, non-quarterback, who changes your offense or changes the defense? Is Nick Chubb or Derrick Henry in that category or conversation that Tyreek Hill maybe stands alone?
Yeah, I mean, Chubb and Henry definitely change the defense and they open things up for the quarterback, but not at the same level. Again, the pass game's just more effective than the run game overall. So changing the run game a little bit, yeah, they do change defenses, but not at the same level as a wide receiver. I think A.J. Brown in Philadelphia, you're seeing what he's adding, right? Just adding an X receiver so that all the other receivers have a little bit less pressure off them, and it's just putting the defense in a bind. A.J. Brown, to me, was the most effective first-round pick. You know, the Eagles traded for him, paid him the night of the draft, and I think on the night of the draft, that was the best first-round pick. Everybody should want to add A.J. Brown because he does change that offense, and you can see what they've done in Philadelphia with him.
Any hope for the Chargers? They've got the Chiefs coming up on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about offenses being down. Justin Herbert's been throwing to third, fourth, and fifth-string receivers this entire season. It's really going to come down to health. I think with Brandon Staley and his aggressiveness that the media loves to either, you know, pick apart or praise, we'll see which way it goes. But you know he's going to play to win. And to me, it's going to come down to those receivers. And Justin Herbert throwing the ball down the field. The guy has a cannon with great downfield accuracy, and the Chargers have to tap into it and try to flip the field because Herbert's capable of doing that.
Have you guys looked at college quarterbacks yet?
Yeah, we have guys grading them all the time. I think it's a bit of an open, you know, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young. Some people like Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. I don't know if we have a consensus top guy just yet, but we're grading every single play of college right now.
But even somebody like Drake May, who's a redshirt freshman at North Carolina, you guys,
he's been the best. He's been the most valuable quarterback in the in college football this year by our numbers. He's awesome.
If you had a Heisman vote,
I might go Drake May because I believe in the purity of the best player. I think May's been the best and most valuable player. I know most voters are looking for Heisman moments and, you know, undefeated teams and all that stuff. But I think Drake May's been the best player. And he does have a chance to go win the ACC championship. So maybe he can actually get himself into that conversation.
If I gave you an MVP vote, NFL.
Oh, I'd go Patrick Mahomes. I think the fact that we see how special Tyreek Hill's been in Miami, the fact that Mahomes has kept that Chiefs offense at such a high level. I know he still has Travis Kelce, but Mahomes, high volume and grading extremely well. I think Mahomes is the MVP right now.
Good to talk to you as always, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Paulie Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo!
Of course you know us as the host of the number one rated Paulie and Tony Fusco show.
World renowned.
We all know you're sick and tired of these stupid sports shows where the hosts say stupid things like Tom Brady's the GOAT.
Or LeBron James is good at basketball, which he is clearly not.
See, we give you smart takes.
Yeah.
And we also bring on so-called famous guests from across the sports world and show them why we know much more than they do.
You're off the show!
Are you serious?
Listen to the Paulie and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
Marcellus Wiley, former NFL All-Pro defensive end and host of More To It. Great podcast on the Dan Patrick Podcast Network. And interviews with him. You talked to, you talked about this on the podcast where you said you were going to answer questions this past week about the Eagles were trying to be too perfect to stay perfect. Explain that logic to the audience.
Yeah, it's interesting when you watch a team go out there and all of a sudden try to play up to their label and play up to their results. A lot of this is mental. And so I saw the Philadelphia Eagles go into a game where they only had 3 turnovers in 8 games. And all of a sudden, the projection of perfection and the conversations continue to be had about them comparing to the 72 Dolphins, and you saw a team have 4 turnovers in 1 game after only having 3 in 8 games. And in those moments when you're trying to do it big, it's always about the little things. And you may take your eyes off of those little things when you're trying to live up to a label, when you're trying to live up to being perfect. You actually mess up on all those little things that added up to that perfect result. I saw it on full display watching those Eagles mess up those minimal moments.
What came to mind when you heard Derek Carr say what he said after the loss to the Colts?
I was really disturbed at the fact that players get into this performance at times where they have to show that they're more invested than others, especially when adversity hits. Like, all of a sudden you see the fracturing of a team just because we're facing this adversity. So now you have guys who are supposed to be leaders who are really raising their hand to show everyone, I'm so committed, I'm more invested than my teammates. This is not on me. So now you're seeing guys just go out there, and instead of being selfless, they're being selfish. And Derek Carr, who I think is authentic, who I think is an emotional leader for this team, has still fallen short on the football field. So the last thing we need is theater at the podium to tell everyone that you are the one that is first in, last out, like the rest of the guys are not as committed as you.
Well, Davante Adams echoed what Derek Carr had to say, basically calling out teammates.
Yeah, you know what's so crazy about it? Because they're going to be protected or at least given benefit of doubt. When you're playing in Sin City, as soon as anything goes wrong, we're going to blame the city. We're going to blame the surroundings. We know that. And then you're going to have committed guys who I assume Davante Adams, who I assume Derek Carr, but I also assume other players on this team. So coach used to always say, if you got a problem with the team and you want to address it publicly, I need names and numbers. Don't you go out there and generalize, because if you're going to step out there and say, we got a problem in here, isolate the problem. So you already have violated what the code is. Don't tell everybody our business. And if you are, be specific.
There's this rush now to get grass over turf. And I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if it solves everything. But what do you make of some of the stars, including Aaron Rodgers, coming out and saying, we got to go back to grass?
Yeah, I hate grass, so I'm on the other side. If they need anybody to sit there and say, pro turf, I'll sit here as a retired player who loved turf.
Why?
Well, football's 100% guaranteed injury rate, no matter what surface you play on. Like, can we stop with this old 92 versus 89%? Like, that's not the conversation I want to have. We're going to get hurt on grass and turf. What happens on grass is it feels better when you get hurt. On turf, it hurts more when you get hurt, but they both end in the same damn place. Pain. I love turf because I was able to perform better in all conditions. I remember playing in Pittsburgh, and they had to play, you know, after the University of Pittsburgh, resodded the field. It was beach volleyball. I remember also playing on turf, no matter what the weather conditions were, at least I didn't have to worry about my traction and my speed. So I know I'm going to get hurt if I play football long enough. So get that out the conversation. Which surface allows me to perform the best? Obviously, that's turf.
Worst field you ever played on?
That Pittsburgh field was pretty bad. Cincinnati, I think it was my rookie year. We're laying there stretching pregame, and one of my teammates like, man, look at this field. It's slanted. And you literally could look across the field, and you could see the field was built like this. Like, it literally was slanted. I don't know if that was for irrigation or just lazy landscape. I don't know who did this, but the field was slanted and the turf was horrible. You can see the seams in the turf, but that was old school football, wide shoulder pads, AFL feeling. But of recent memory, it was Pittsburgh. They need to get that sod together.
We're talking to Marcellus Wiley, the former All-Pro defensive end, and his podcast, More To It, the latest episode dropping today. Maybe it's too soon to bring this up. The Music City Miracle.
Oh, God, here you go. You must not like me. Let's do it.
Were you a rookie that year, second year with Buffalo?
Let's say second, third year. Okay. Yeah, I remember that play vividly. Where are we going with this?
Where were you when it happened?
Oh, man, I'm like Derek Carr. It wasn't on me, you know. I was on the sidelines crying like Derek Carr. I was on the sideline. I've been taken off of our kickoff team because I got flipped. I was one of the best gunners in kickoff. Young players, you got to play kickoff. I was doing amazing, got to a Miami game. I got de-cleated, which means somebody knocked me off my feet, flipped in the air, tackled the guy, caused a fumble. Wade Phillips runs up to me. He's like, you know what, Marcellus, that was amazing, and you're never doing that again because I need you on defense. So I'm on the sideline, and I'm watching the play develop with the best perspective because I'm on the sideline, and you can see it. When Gash gets the ball, he jogs. And as soon as you see a kick returner jogging, set up, alarms going off. But I wasn't on the play. I wasn't in the field of battle. Those guys were out there. And next thing you know, you see a pass to the other side. And all we saw were Tennessee Titans. We didn't see anybody from the Buffalo Bills on that side. And we know how that all ended. It ended in a lot of tears and a lot of pain.
How long did that replay take?
Oh, God. In real time, Dan, I think it was like 24 minutes or something. It felt like eternity. You're sitting there. You're watching everyone gather around the officials. And all of a sudden, it became like a mob. The officials are sitting there looking through the camera. And all of the crowd seems like they're just hovering and surrounding them and really just like being vigilantes out there, like, just intimidating them. And you can see the officials like just going back and forth. And when they came out with the call, I mean, it took astrophysicists and it took MIT to try to break this play down. And I don't think anybody has a definitive answer, but we felt the pain and the torture and the twisting of that blade, what felt like 20 plus minutes.
I've had a couple of callers say this. I've heard some other people use this analogy that Bill Cowher came out and was really angry that, you know, you're going to hire Jeff Saturday and he has no coaching experience. He was offended by this, but people pointed out, did Bill Cowher have any experience to sit in on the CBS pregame show? He jumped the line. I don't think it's apples to apples, but can you see where people are trying to compare the two? Saturday moved to the head of the line. Bill Cowher moved to the head of the line to be in TV.
Oh, absolutely. I think it highlights a greater problem we have in our world today. There's like a pandering epidemic going on where people are just saying things, not thinking it all the way through, just because they know it will land safely in today's culture. So this was really a play of saying, oh, man, Jeff Saturday has privilege. Jeff Saturday has white privilege. But I don't know if Bill Cowher would come out and say this if that were a black coach. Think about how that lands. Oh, a black coach can't skip the line. There have been other coaches that skipped the line, even though this happens in other sports and this happened in our sport. Jason Kidd became a head coach. Jason Kidd was just a great point guard, and that turned into being a head coach. You see it all the time. And people don't really understand it because they don't really respect human capital, like relationships, networking. All of that is the fine print of any relationship, any contract. Like if you don't have a good relationship with someone you're going to work with or work for, you don't get that opportunity. Guess what? Vice versa occurs as well. If you have a tremendous relationship and you have a resume that's tremendous, in a different endeavor, we will translate that relationship and that resume to this new opportunity. I've been the benefactor of great opportunities, leaping the line, skipping the line. I think everyone has, because it's not so merit-based that relationships don't matter.
Interesting that, let's say it's a black member of the media.
Okay.
And they would get promoted, how do you think the media would have reacted? Let's say Ryan Clark of ESPN got the job. He's the head coach of the Colts. Knows a lot of football. Maybe it's not apples to apples because he didn't play for Jim Irsay and the Colts. I'm trying to think if there's somebody in the media, African-American, if they did that, would the reaction have been different? Or how much
absolutely
different?
Absolutely have been different because the culture is in a different place right now. And as culture is defined by Ben Horowitz, the venture capitalist, great guy, great friend, culture is what's rewarded. It's not the signs on the wall, discipline, desire. It's not be on time. It's none of that. It's what is getting rewarded. And in this moment in time, you actually will get rewarded if you sit there and support an African-American who gets an opportunity that is deemed usually for a white American. So that's something that we know is getting rewarded right now. There's tons of money being invested, funds, all of this interest towards that. So when that happens, if you say that, you're going with the flow, you're going with the stream. But if you go the other way, obviously, what doesn't come is rewards. What comes is consequences, bad consequences. And people start to deem you as either insensitive or even racist on the other extreme. So Bill Cowher knows this. He knows this is something that goes with the flow. This is something that goes with the stream, the mainstream. Mm-hmm. So I know if he would have went the other way, he knows how that lands. And it doesn't land the same as the way he went.
Great to talk to you as always. What do you got in store coming up on the podcast?
Oh, what we got in store is we're going through culture, sports, entertainment. The fans are responding with questions, and we're just going to hit all the topics. We got tremendous guests lined up as well. Terrell Owens wants to jump on here and have a conversation with him. Mm. So, well, we got guys lined up and conversations to have.
Thank you, Marcellus.
All right. Appreciate that.
That's Marcellus Wiley, former All-Pro defensive end, the host of the podcast More to It. It's on the Dan Patrick Podcast Network. You can get it there or wherever you get your podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.